गोपीजनवल्लभागिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे जय प्रभुपदा 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 जय प्रभुपदा
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टतर श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की ISKCON founder Acharya BBD founder Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Om Vishnu Par Parahansa Parivrajakacharya Astotara Shishmad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki Premsika Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyam Kun Radha Kun Giriraj Govardhan ki ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी की गंगा माय जमुना माय की तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की समय बैठा भक्त वृंद की जानी चाय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू दिस सम ऑफ द वोरिस ऑल ग्लोरीज टू दिस सम ऑफ द वोरिस ऑल ग्लोरीज टू दिस सम ऑफ द वोरिस ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गुरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 16 वर्सेस 12 थ्रू 14 अग्नयतितयो भृत्या भिक्षावो ये चलिप्सवः सर्वं भगवतो भ्रमन् अनुद्यानान् नरिष्यति Translation O beloved husband, the fires, guests, servants and beggars are all being properly cared for by me. Because I always think of you, there is no possibility that any of the religious principles will be neglected. Text 13. Kono me bhagavan kamo na sampadyete manasaha yasya bhavan prajadyaksha evang dharman prabhashate. Translation. O my Lord, since you are a Prajapati and are personally my instructor in the principles of religion, where is the possibility that all my desires will not be fulfilled? Today's verse. Tataiva maricha mana sarirajaha. Tavaiva maricha mana sarirajaha. Praja ima sattva rajastama jushaha. Praja ima sattva rajastama jushaha. Samo bhavangstas vasuradishu prabho. Samo bhavangstas vasuradishu prabho. Tathapi bhaktam bhajate maheshwaraha. Tathapi bhaktam bhajate maheshwaraha. Tavaiva maricha mana sarirajaha. Praja ima sattvata jastamo jushaha. Samo bhavangstas vasuradishu prabho. Tathapi bhaktam bhajate maheshwara. Prabhu, please repeat.
Mothers,
please.
Prajaima sattvarajastamo jushaha. Samo bhavangstasva saradishu prabho. Tathapi bhaktam bhajate maheshwara. Tavaiva maricha mana sarirajaha. Prajaima sattvarajastamo jushaha. Samo bhavangstasarasirasya prabho. तथापि भक्तं भजते महेश्वरः.
Please repeat the word for word translation. Tava, yo, eva, indeed, maricha, O son of Marichi, manasharira jaha, born either of your body or of your mind, in parentheses, all the demons and demigods. Praja, born of you. Ima, all of them. Sattvarajatama jushaha, infected with sattvagun, rajagun, or tamagun. Sama, equal. Bhavan, your good self. Tasu, to every one of them. Asura adishu, beginning with the asuras. Prabho, O my Lord. Tatha, excuse me, tata api, still. Bhaktam, unto the devotees. Bhajate, takes care of. Maha Ishwaraha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller. Translation: O son of Marichi, because you are a great personality, you are equal toward all the demons and demigods who are born either from your body or from your mind, and who possess one or another of the three qualities, sattva guna, raja guna, or tama guna. But although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is equal toward all living entities, he is especially favorable to the devotees. Please repeat this responsibly. O son of Marichi, because you are a great personality, you are equal toward all the demons and demigods who are born either from your body or from your mind, and who possess one or another of the three qualities, sattva guna, raja guna, or tama guna. But although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is equal toward all living entities, he is especially favorable to the devotees. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. In Bhagavad Gita 9.29, the Lord says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshostina priyaha ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maitete shuchapyaham. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equal toward everyone, he is especially inclined toward those who engage in his devotional service. The Lord says, Kontiya pratijanihi na me bhakta pranaschati. My dear son of Kunti, please declare that my devotee will never be vanquished. Elsewhere, Krishna also says, Yeyata ma prapadyante tangstataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manushya partav sarvashaha. Bhagavad Gita 4.11. Actually, everyone is trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various ways, but according to their methods of approach, the Supreme Lord endows them with different benedictions. Thus, Aditi appealed to her husband by saying that since even the Supreme Controller favors his devotees, and since Indra, Kashyapa's devoted son, was in difficulty, Kashyapa should bestow his favor upon Indra. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपराय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमति भक्तिचैतन्यस्वामीति नाम्ने नमामि भक्तिचैतन्यं प्रभुपद अनुसेवनं श्रीव्रजधनमहात्म्यं प्रदाशं कृपानुभवम्। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमति भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पश्चात्तदेशतारिणे। Aditi is making a request for support from her husband here in this sequence of verses. The demigods have been ousted from their position as rulers of heaven, the heavenly planets, through the exertions of Bali. Bali has been benedicted many powerful weapons, and he has used these to great effect by chasing out the demigods from the heavenly planets. As a natural consequence, the mother of the demigods, namely Aditi, is traumatized, disturbed because of a natural affection for her children. Up until this time, Kashyapa Muni is in some meditation elsewhere. So when he returns from his transcendental meditation back to the ashram of Aditi, he sees from her facial expression that she's quite upset. In previous verses explained that she's looking like a stage of lamentation. So of course, as a dutiful husband, he asks what's the matter, and she explains, not initially complaining but explaining, that from your questions about dharma, everything is going fine. I'm seeing two guests, I'm fulfilling my grihastha dharma very nicely. Then she comes to the point of explaining what's actually wrong. And the verse that we're on today, she's actually beginning by complimenting the position of Prajapati Kashyapa as being equal to everybody, being a great personality, and of course of his high parentage, being the son of Marichi. Thereafter, she begins to compare Kashyapa Muni's position in terms of partiality towards his children to that of Krishna, that's mentioned in chapter 9, text 29, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. But we should just analyze this conversation a little bit, because it gives us a view of Aditi's mentality as well as Kashyapa Muni's mentality. Like we said at the beginning, it's natural to be attached an affection to one's offspring. It's required. Otherwise, that relationship will be very artificial. Some affection must be there for family members. However, Aditi is over-attached. Now, there's a difference between being attached and over-attached. Generally, somebody who is over-attached is basing their relationship, the thought of that relationship, on a material platform. What's in it for me? I scratch my back, your back, you scratch mine. Something to this effect, give and take. And Aditi's mindset will be revealed as this conversation unfolds. So it's interesting to look at Kashyapa Muni's response, which will be discussed by further speakers in Srimad Bhagavatam class, that he alludes to the fact that the demigods have been ousted out of the heavenly planets. But then he acknowledges also that Aditi is attached. It seems that you're attached to your children. That's why you're speaking like this. Of course, Kashyapa is also the father of the demons. So in asking for her husband to be favorable to the demigods, on the one side, he will be showing favor to the demigods. But on the other side, the demons, who are also his sons, will be neglected and done down to a sense. So Kashyapa's response, although initially seeming not to agree to her proposal, he eventually agreed. But he did it in a very Krishna conscious way. As pointed out yesterday by Premanjan Prabhu, he engaged her proclivities in Krishna consciousness. And we will touch on this point a little bit later. But something within Kashyapa Muni I wanted to just discuss with you. which is his proclivity to be attached also. Kasyapa Muni has the proclivity, ability, tendency to be attached to his wives. This was explained or shown, exposed in his dealings with Diti, the mother of the demons, when she approached Kasyapa at an inappropriate time for procreation. And who knows what was the consequence of that, we'll see on Sunday. Who was born from that combination? Two demons. They were named Hiranyaksha, and Prahlad Maharaj, who's the son of Hiranyakashipu, when he addressed his father, he says, "Oh, best of the demons." So, of demons, he is the creme de la creme, if there's such a thing exists. So, Kashyapya eventually acceded to her request, Diti, which means he had the tendency to go that way. Also here, he agreed to Aditi's proposal and agreed. But as Premanjan Prabhu pointed out yesterday, he did it in a very tactful way. He tried to explain to her straightforwardly that actually what you're feeling and what you're thinking and your thought processes at the moment are due to bodily attachment. And when he found he was not making any headway in that sense, he tried another approach. Yes, you can do this yagya, which eventually we will find out is called Payovrata, just some austerities for a period of 12 days, I think it is. And then you will get the rewards by worshipping the Lord. So, as we know from Bhagavatam, if somebody is having material desires as no desires or as desires for sense gratification, what is the what does Bhagavatam say? Under all those circumstances, approach the Supreme Lord. Akama sarva koma, this shloka. So, Aditi begins to do something interesting after this point in reciprocation. She starts to compare. It's actually a misplaced comparison because she's dealing with a human, a jiva, which is her husband, Kasyapa Muni, although he's a Prajapati and a very great personality. And she's comparing to Krishna's attachment to his devotee. The verse quoted by Prabhupada in the purport is 9.29. Krishna says there that he is equal to everybody, but to his devotees he is inclined. Why? Because they are in him and he is in them. So it's interesting in the purport of that verse, 9.29, Prabhupada clearly points out that actually Krishna's attachment cannot be compared to yours and mine. Because Krishna, his relationships and everything that goes on with Krishna is transcendental. Prabhupada explains there, I'm going to read to you from that purport of 9.29. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered to be under the laws of karma. We can see even when Krishna appears in this material world, he does so not like you and I. He is, does so by choice. It's not because he's forced to pick up because of his past karma or he's being, he falls down into the material world. He takes his appearance as an avatar. He makes his appearance as per his choice. We don't do that. This is explained in chapter 4, text 7, 8, and 9, where Krishna explains the reasons for his appearance and the transcendental nature of his appearance. Also in chapter 9, texts 4 to 5, he explains In text 3 of chapter 9, Krishna is speaking about the dangers of taking devotional service lightly and what happens to those who are faithless. I'll explain about that a little later. But in text 4 and 5, he's explaining his achintya beda abeda situation, where at the same time he's in everybody, but at the same time he's not. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And then he uses the analogy of the wind, which is in the confines of the atmosphere, but it's not there at the same time. So, according to Srila, this is from Burijan Prabhu's commentary on Bhagavad Gita called the As They Surrender Unto Me. Burijan Prabhu mentions about this verse, Samaham Sarva Bhuteshu, that is actually divided into two halves. The first half, Samohamsa Vibhuteshu is actually Krishna's role as a Supuso. He is not intimately involved directly with the various living entities, all of his children. Aham Pita Prajap is the father of all living entities, but he doesn't have an intimate relationship with them, as per these two first lines of the verse. The next two lines, Ye Bhajanti to Mam Bhaktya Mai Te Te Shuchapyaham. Krishna is more personal and his relationship is that of Bhagavan. When Krishna is having a personal relationship with the devotees, he shows partiality. And that, Prabhupada explains, is from the word to, which means but. But for his devotees, there's another relationship. Prabhupada goes on to quote chapter 9, text 31 about my dear son of Kunti, please declare that my devotee will never be perished. Here it says vanquishes. In the verse it says perishes. So what are we speaking about? The body of the devotee? Devotee's body will not die? What are we speaking about? His Krishna consciousness, his bhakti, actually, right? And as explained also in chapter 2, text 40 by Srila Prabhupada, by Krishna, there's no loss or diminution in this endeavor. That means Prabhupada explains in the purport of chapter 2, text 40, that if you do some devotional service and you make 1% advancement, in your next birth you'll begin from 2%. You won't start from scratch again. But any construction of a building or some project done in a material sphere, they have to complete it. Because when they die, they can't take that progress with them. It's, who knows who you are in your previous life? You die and that's it. That's the end of your building project. But somebody who does some devotional service, he takes off from where he left off. There's no loss or diminution. It goes into an eternal spiritual bank balance. Another classical example is of Ajamil. In the sixth canto, Ajamil was a Brahmin executing so many pious activities and devotional service, actually. And then because of attachment to sense gratification and the objects of sense gratification, he married a prostitute, actually, and was fathered a child at maybe 80 years old, I heard, something like that. So it's very tamasic, this sort of behavior. He lost his Krishna consciousness, he lost his mindset of being a devotee and remembering Krishna all the time. But actually didn't lose, because he named that last child Narayan. And that, because in traditional times, previous ages and previous generations, children were named after gods, because if the parents called the names of their children, they remembered the Lord. So he named his last child Narayan. So at the time of death, when he saw the Yamadutas coming to approach him to take his soul out of the body, he called it Narayan, Narayan. But was he calling for his 5-year-old son? Yes? Yes, he was. He was calling for his 5-year-old son. But the Lord didn't see it as that. He said, "This, my devotee is calling for me." And immediately the Vishnu Dutas came. There was an argument amongst the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas. And eventually that soul was claimed by the Vishnu Dutas. This is a devotee. We have no right over him. So that devotional service which was executed by Ajamil in his previous life as a Brahmana was not lost. So devotional service is described as a razor's edge. Prabhupada says, if you're shaving your face, your razor can clean your face very nicely. But at the same time, a little inattention, immediately there's blood. So I'm thinking about chapter 9, text 3, which I mentioned I will discuss with you later. And now is that time. Krishna says in chapter 9, text 3, those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. That means somebody who is in devotional service, his path is not guaranteed that he's going to go back to Godhead if he slips along the way. Of course, there's no loss or diminution. But this verse is a warning. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, faithlessness cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. You have to have faith in the process. For example, Bhakta Prahlad had faith in the process to the extent that he was seeing Krishna in the pillar. And His Grace Jananivas Prabhu said once in a class that Prahlad actually looked at the pillar, he saw the Lord, and the Lord winked at him, and he winked back. So Krishna is everyone, but we can't see that. Unless we're really advanced devotees, we probably can, but the pure devotee is practically seeing Krishna everywhere, and Prahlad actually saw Nrisimhadev in that pillar. So that takes faith. And where do you get that faith from? Can anybody give an answer? Prabhupada gives the answer in that purport. Where do you get faith from? How can you develop your faith? Yes, Prabhu. Nrisimha Tirtha Prabhu. Excellent. You get it from the association. Let's see what Srila Prabhupada says, Nrisimha Tirtha Prabhu. Faith is created by association with devotees. Haribo. So there's a nice shloka in Nectar of, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sarva Shastra Khoi, Labha Matta, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. That by a moment's association of devotees, advanced devotees in particular, a moment you can make unlimited progress. So you're judged by the company you keep. And if you associate with people who are of not high consciousness, your consciousness will also be compromised. But Prabhupada is so expert, he created the entire morning program so we can have association. We have association when we chant our japa. We have association during the Mangalati, we sing kirtan together. We have association during greetings of the deities and Guru Puja. And we have association during hearing Bhagavad Katha. So in this way, Prabhupada created the society to give association to new people. I was listening to a lecture yesterday and this morning of Prabhupada. This was 21st of December 1966, New York, about the same verse, 9:29 to 9:32. Srila Prabhupada says that when new people come on to the scene, because this verse 9:31 is speaking about the fall down of a devotee. So Prabhupada says, if new people come to the scene of Krishna consciousness, we cannot impose too much of rules on them. Prabhupada says that he imposed many rules on the devotees who came, the new devotees, not many of them will stay. In fact, we may not have this International Society for Krishna Consciousness because people will be scared, they'll be fried. So many rules and regulations. So Prabhupada says the main thing that they should do is to chant and hear. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The holy name is the essential ingredient in our bhakti. I will discuss this point a little later. So, as Nrisimha Tirtha Prabhu correctly said, faith is created by association with devotees. But in that association, we have to be very cautious not to commit offenses. What is the first offense against the chanting of the holy names of the Lord? Anyone here knows the first offense against the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Prabhu? Yes. It's not number 2 or 3 or 10, it's number 1. Now, when you want to make something as pivotal to what list you're listing out, number 1 on your list is the most important thing. And the number 1 offense against the chanting of the holy name is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives to propagating the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So, I think on Sunday, yes, on Sunday Maharaj was making this point that with devotee association you have to be very cautious, because at the same time you can get mercy and you can advance by that association I spoke about earlier, but at the same time a little neglect, like with the razor, and immediately you'll get some reaction, you'll suffer from a reaction of offense. So you must be very careful in the dealings with devotees and know that for somebody to come to the point of chanting Hare Krishna, it's like the pinnacle, it's the apex of evolution spiritually. You're not dealing with some non-devotee or some person is following another path. Bhakti is the supermost path, and those following bhakti are the supermost persons. We should deal with devotees like this with the utmost respect. So we see that Aditi is absorbed. What is she? Who is she absorbed in? Her sons. This is okay, as I mentioned earlier, that as being a grihastha, as a father or a mother, you have to have some affection for your children, otherwise it's weird. But with Aditi, she was over-affectioned, she was over-attached, she was over-absorbed, but in the wrong thing. So, there's two types of absorption. There's mundane absorption and transcendental absorption. In mundane absorption, these thoughts and this things, criteria that you're absorbed in will take you away from Krishna. But in divine transcendental absorption, that absorption will bring you closer to Krishna. Who can think of that part of the day when you have to be very, very absorbed, the most absorbed? Who knows? It takes about 2 hours to do. You chant something. Japa time. Japa time is your time with Krishna. Yes. Quality time for quality Krishna. So, if we are doing prajalpa japa, which means you're chanting, yes. Really, Krishna, 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 Hare. Really, Hare, Hare, Hare. This is prajalpa japa. You know, you're paying attention to Krishna and that person. So, you know what you're doing? You're offending Krishna and that person you're talking. So, this is not good. This is not good. We should avoid this. Because what's the 11th offense? In that list of 10, there's one more, the 11th. To be inattentive. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this 11th offense gives birth to all others. It's like a gate, like a portal to offenses. So the mind should be focused on the sound of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 16 words, 32 syllables. Let everything go into your ear and then into the chamber of your heart where the Chaito Darpana Marjanam will take place by the transcendental sound vibration. The other day, maybe Saturday or Friday, I was sitting next to some senior, older person chanting my japa, and I heard him missing out one Krishna. He was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in joking terms, we call this the Hare Krishna mini mantra. You take one part out. Not Maha Mantra, but mini mantra. You take pieces out. This is not good. If you want the full Krishna, you must chant the full Krishna's name. But he was a senior person. I was a little afraid to talk to him. So I approached in another way. I said, Prabhu, if I hear a senior devotee saying something wrong, what should I do? So I asked him, what should I do to correct him? Because we should not correct a senior, actually. You should have some position of age, management, or friendship with somebody to correct them. You just can't go around correcting everybody and anybody, like you're the supreme authority. We are not. So the devotee answered this in this way. So I said to him, Prabhu, please excuse me, I want to just make an observation of your chanting. And that is, you're missing out this word of Krishna, this name of Krishna. And his answer was that you can correct the person, but it must be for the constructive criticism. You don't like try to, you know, make the devotee feel small or silly or something, or make you feel like you know better than that person. You do it in a humble way. So I tried my best to be humble, although I'm not. And I spoke to him and I said, you're missing out this Krishna. And he was very grateful. Because his mind was open to correction. If somebody is not open to correction, you can knock your head against a stone wall and you're just going to get a lot of bumps on your head. And you'll not change. But if somebody is open to correction, they can improve themselves. They can become better devotees. They can evolve as devotional service. But if somebody is stuck in the mud, like, you know, I am correct, my way is the right way, who are you to tell me what? This is pride. And pride has no way, is no place in bhakti, actually. It's a major obstacle. Do you know what is the measurement between you and Krishna? The measurement between you and Krishna. This is the measurement between you and Krishna. This is how far Krishna is away from you. But when you say Krishna, it goes into your ear and you're with Krishna. But it takes humility to realize that. Not just some book knowledge, but you must genuinely realize, I'm chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because I have no other way to know Krishna. I'm so fallen. The Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar that Mahaprabhu is, that's being sung about Lord Chaitanya, that's speaking about me actually. Patita Pavana Hetu. It's me. I need this holy name. Not that I'm doing my Guru Maharaj's favor by chanting Hare Krishna. He says, yeah, this is a good disciple. He's chanting his rounds. No, but what's happening in the chanting? Are you giving your heart to the chanting? His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj says, you must chanting Riddhastha from the heart. Not Kantastha, not from the throat. From the heart. And when you chant from the heart and you investing your intention and your energy in that chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You will feel Krishna. Kali Kala Nam Rupa Krishna Avatar. In Kali Yuga, Krishna comes as the holy name. Yes. So being absorbed is the way to be transcendently absorbed and avoid this deviation of mundane absorption. So I want to end on one story. And while I'm saying this story, I would like you to please think of some questions. Because maybe in my presentation I said something incorrect. I would like you to correct me. The purpose of Bhagavatam class and the questions and answers that come out of that is to clarify things. It's not to show how good you are in asking expert questions. It's not to speak it to show how good you are in telling good answers. No. It's to clarify if I made a mistake or you don't understand something, to clarify. So both of us will benefit. Is that clear? Yes? No?
Yes.
Thank you. So here's the story. True story. So yesterday morning, sorry, not yesterday morning, on Monday night, my wife made a garland of lemons. Sometimes you see Nishingadev with a garland of lemons, limes, lemons. So she made this garland, and the next morning, that's yesterday, I brought it to offer to Lord Nishingadev. And the pujari, looking at the packet, he held the garland and he lifted it, but he held one lime or lemon. So what do you think happened? It came out. Oh, you know, because my wife told you. So it came out of that garland. Yes? So I was devastated because my wife came home after the boat festival. It's like about 8:30 or 9 after everything finished. Took a bath and then made the garland. So I was thinking, she made so much of endeavor, she'll be upset. I felt really bad for her. Then he said, I'll place that single lemon or lime at the feet of Lord Nishingadev. It's the same thing. Then when we went into the puja room, another brahmachari there said, okay, we can't put that on the Lord's neck because all the chandan is going to break off. Nishingadev, until yesterday, was covered in chandan, head to toe. He said, if we put this heavy mala on Nishingadev of lemons, it'll chip off and we can't. So again, I was thinking, oh my God, one bad news is the one lemon is off. Now he's not even going to put it on the Lord. I felt very depressed. So he saw my face and he said, I'm so sorry, but he'll put it on his feet. Is that okay? Of course it was not okay, but I managed one fake smile and I left. So then this has happened between my walking from Panchatattva Darshan to Radha Madhava Darshan. I go around, past there, and then to Radha Madhava. So I was looking at Radha Madhava and thinking, Krishna, she worked so hard to make this for you. Why didn't you accept this and wear it, you know? And I was just questioning. Then I realized, Krishna cannot be questioned. He accepts what we offer when he wants to accept it. If he doesn't want to accept your offering, I mean, that's he doesn't want to accept your offering. There's two ingredients that will force him to accept your offering. Who can tell me what are the two ingredients? If he's lathered with these two ingredients, he will take your offering. Huh? It's one more thing. It's a good point. It's one more thing. But I'm talking from your heart. Two things are there. Devotion and love. To the extent that Krishna mentions this bhakti twice in one verse. Who knows the verse? Chapter 9. Yes, Mataji, say it. If one offers me with love, a fruit, a leaf, a flower, I will accept it. Krishna says that twice in the verse. If somebody is saying something twice to you in their statement, what is it saying? They're putting emphasis on that. So it's not that you just give Krishna your half-cooked chapati or your burnt chapati. You make the best, you put ghee on it and you give it to him. But even if you give him some banana peels with love, he'll accept and he'll eat. Like with Vidura, Krishna was offered a large feast at Duryodhana's, but he chose to go to Vidura and eat some banana peels. Why? Because Vidura's heart was in it. Vidura was not making some opulent offering with no feeling. His heart was in it. So when you, Krishna feels your heart in something, whether it be your kirtan, whether it be your class, whether it be what you cook, how you dress him, anything devotional, I mean, that puts devotional into devotional service, right? I mean, it could be service, but Prabhupada specifically says devotional service because it must be an offering of the heart. Not many of you are from UK here, or from Russia, or from South Africa, but I can just tell you one point. There's a devotee named Parthasarathi Das Goswami. He's a sannyasi who spends a lot of time in South Africa. And he came with one book. It's called Bhakti, An Affair of the Heart. It's a very nice title for the book, Bhakti, An Affair of the Heart. Because this entire movement is about personalism. You know what's happening in chapter 9, 4, text 11? It's reciprocation. Ye tam mam prapadyante tam sadeva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmana vartante manushya partha sarvashaha. That Krishna says, everyone surrenders unto me, and according to how they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So, if somebody is putting full devotion to that offering, even if it's a banana peel, Krishna accepts that 100%. But if somebody is making some half-hearted, you know, effort or just inattentive, then Krishna doesn't accept this. So we can see that with the garland, we don't know why that happened, why Krishna did not accept that garland. But something very interesting happened at Darshanarchi. When I came back with my daughter and my wife, Nishingadev was wearing that garland. So Krishna knows your heart. You can be thinking something right now in this classroom. I can't hear you, but Krishna can hear you. So if Krishna can hear your thoughts, I would say be very careful what you think. Devotees don't get punished for their mental offenses, but Krishna hears your thoughts, is in your heart. The analogy is given by Prabhupada, probably chapter 15, about the scent of a flower. You cannot separate the scent of a flower from a flower. So the super soul perceives your emotions and your intentions by being near you in the heart, although it doesn't touch the flower, just the fragrance of the flower you smell. So in the same way, Krishna is perceiving as a super soul what you're thinking, but he doesn't touch you directly. So that story had a happy ending, and the garland was offered of lemons for Nishingadev. So I'll stop here. Time's up. I was wondering if there are any questions. Okay. Nishingadev Tirtha Prabhu has a question. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu. Microphone. But this is for the people on Maipur TV land.
Hare Krishna. Please, I submissively request some more clarity about the Adiri's concern over children's loss of possession of the heavenly planet. Previously, we had in a class that demons, Bali Maharaj precisely, forcefully took over the possession of the heavenly planet. And he is explaining that Aditi's concern over our children's plight was sentimental, was an act of attachment. So please, can you throw more light why her concern was sentimental?
Her concern was sentimental because of she being although she's... Give me that, please, bro. I'm not sure there's going to be time. I'll just take one question. So because of a concern, as I mentioned to you, Prabhu, the concern was natural. Every parent is concerned for their child. And this point is explained in chapter 9, text 29, Purport by Srila Prabhupada. He said that every person is charitably disposed to all children in the world, but he has a special inclination to his own child. That's mentioned by Prabhupada in 9:29 Purport. This is the same point. Aditi is concerned also to a degree what happens to the demons perhaps, because she's a mother also, she understands the feelings of children. But her feelings, her tendency is to feel more affection towards her own children. That's a mother's natural feeling. So instead of rationalizing, like I mentioned about the garland not being offered, we have to understand actually that behind that is some plan. You know, sometimes it happens in your life, you don't know, what is Krishna's plan? You know, I mean, why is this horrible thing happening to me? Why is my plan to even do service not being accepted? You ever had that experience? You want to do something and just not coming right? Anyone had that experience in this room? One, two people. Anyway, Hare Krishna. So it happens to people sometimes. You have a plan, you really plan to serve Krishna in this way, but something just doesn't quite work out. But later you realize, oh my Krishna, lucky it didn't happen, otherwise, dot, 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 dot. So in hindsight, we can see things very clearly. But Krishna as well as his pure devotees are Trikala Gyan. Premanjan Prabhu mentioned that yesterday, that they can see past, present and future. So Krishna knows, this devotee of mine wants this now, but it's not good for them. So I will hold on a bit. And when they write, I'll give it to them. Like you see so many people coming in and out of Mayapur. So many people, they come to Mayapur, they stay for a while and then they leave. There may be so many external reasons. Oh, I got a better job, my children want to be educated in the West, I hate the weather, so many reasons are there. These are all externals. Actually, internally, there's something not quite fitting in Krishna's plan for you at that time. Maybe in a few years down the line or whenever, everything will just fit into place. How many of you came to Mayapur and like the last moment, everything just like fit into place? Put up your hands. How many of you were planning to come to Mayapur and some or the other at the last minute or week or month, everything just fell into place like perfectly? And then looking back, you thought, that's amazing. Krishna did that. That's Krishna. That is when that thing is meant to happen. If something's not meant to happen at that time, no matter what you do on your side, you're putting 100% endeavor. But remember, there's two fingers short. One is your endeavor, the other is Krishna's mercy. They go together hand in hand. And when both are flowing both sides, then it's perfect. And it happens. Avishya, it happens. So, in terms of your question, Prabhupada explains that inclination to be attached is there in every living entity. Why not Aditi? So the attachment that she felt was natural. But the problem is, she was overly attached. Like for example, you, I'm not sure if your parents are alive or if you have siblings, brothers and sisters. You have some feeling for them. When you go to your country, you meet them sometimes, or maybe once in a while, you take them out to dinner or you give them some prasadam. Or you know what I'm saying? You have some relationship with them. So some affection is there. But if your only intention is my family, to the extent that you forget Krishna, this is not good. This is called being overly attached. And what happens as a consequence, it actually takes you further away from Krishna. Marriage can take you further away from Krishna, or marriage can bring you towards Krishna. Having a child can take you further away from Krishna, or can bring you towards Krishna. This is the glory of Garbhadhan Samskara. Garbhadhan Samskara, from before conception, that child is planned. I plan to have a Krishna conscious baby. I will chant this many rounds. It's very difficult. It takes my time, it takes my energy, my sleep, but I will do this because I want a Krishna conscious child. Your consciousness at that moment must be perfect to attract a suitable soul into the womb. And if you follow these rules and regulations, you can have an ideal Grihastha ashram. Or close to ideal. There's nothing ideal in this world. Marriage. You may think, okay, I can do fine without marriage. Women are Maya. Fair enough. But can you get that Maya out of your head? Maybe you need to go through the purification of Grihastha ashram to get that Maya out of your head. Then you can offer your pure self to Madhava. Not that you're offering yourself to Madhava and you're backing, you think of that Mataji. Rather, you know, you both go and stand in front of Madhava and pray together. Why not? So Grihastha ashram means you're taking your proclivity to be with somebody else in terms of company or you want to have a family and you're dovetailing that in Krishna consciousness. This is exactly what Kashyapi Muni did here. She had a tendency to want to favor her sons, give them some boon, give them some result of puja, but he dovetailed that into Krishna consciousness by making her do some yajna for the pleasure of Krishna eventually. So if you take your material tendencies and desires, whether to be married, to have children, to be a businessman, to talk or to sing or to give lectures, dovetail that in Krishna's service, that's called Yukta Vairagya, and that's a perfection. Of course, the perfection is to give your pure self. But Krishna mentions so many levels in chapter 12, does he not? If you cannot do this, do this. If you cannot do, am I right, chapter 12? So many, if you cannot manage this, do the next level. So, the point is Krishna will meet you at your level. If you can give 25%, give, and he'll reciprocate with you. If you can give 100%, why not? And he'll reciprocate you in that way. So, this is the reason why IDT was acting in this way, and Kashyapa reacted in that way, and this is why I chose to use the word attached, because she was actually overly attached. Is that clear, Prabhu? Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada ki Go Premanande.